Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time again for our weekly dose of honesty from the lips of Jesus, and for our annual dose of that honesty as it applies to that matter of worrying, that constant companion of all of us to one degree or another. Worrying is always there with us, just as much as our sinful flesh is always there with us. Jesus addresses it today, not just with honesty, but also with a warning and encouragement and comfort. As Jesus teaches his disciples in today's gospel, he's not afraid to call a thing what it actually is. After warning us first that we cannot serve both God and mammon, that's the idol of earthly wealth, he links Master Mammon, that idol, with our tendency to worry. It seems like those things wouldn't be directly related, wealth and worry. We think of riches and wealth as objects of greed, not of worry. We think of riches and wealth as the rich man's idol, not as the poor man's problem. But Jesus instructs us in the gospel that you don't have to be rich to bow down to Master Mammon. Everyone, both rich and poor, is inclined to worship this false god. We're talking here especially about worry over getting the things we need for this life. Worry as the anxious pursuit of providing for oneself. People worry, they concern themselves, they become preoccupied with getting food and clothing, and the other necessities of this life. Or they worry that some disaster may strike that will deprive them of the things they need to live. So everything else in their life revolves around this pursuit of providing for themselves. The worry is ongoing because our needs are ongoing. And more often than not, especially in our time and in our place, greed is added to worry because it's not just about getting the basic necessities like food and clothing that people worry about anymore, but more and more people worry about getting things that used to be recognized as luxuries, like a tasty variety of food, or a certain style of clothing, or cable TV, or smartphones, or enough money to support a certain style of living. There is no contentment for most people with just the basic necessities of life, like food and water and clothing. Not unlike the people of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness and were provided with clothes that never wore out, and with manna for each and every day, but grew tired of eating that same old food each and every day. And so greed took over, combined with their worry over where are we going to get water to drink now? Where are we going to get food to eat today? Because they had to depend on God to provide it every day, and they weren't so sure about that kind of providence. And so people's pursuit of providing for themselves gets bigger and bigger as they keep finding more and more things that they just can't live without. We'll call that greed plus worry. Why is that a form of idolatry? Because at the heart of worry is the suspicion, or maybe even the conviction, that God is not the one who will provide for you, that God doesn't care. that you are actually the one who provides for you, and that wealth is the solution. Wealth is the answer. Acquiring wealth becomes the goal of one's life, because then you think, if I have more money, then I'll be able to stop worrying so much about the things that I need. If I have more money, then I'll be able to sleep at night. If I have more money, then I'll have food and clothing and maybe even happiness. So Master Mammon, help me. Master Mammon, save me. I'll serve you with my whole life if you'll just provide for me. That's why it's called idolatry. And like all forms of idolatry, it's foolish in addition to being deadly. Because Master Mammon couldn't care less about you. Master Mammon is like a carrot that's dangled from a stick in front of a donkey that he chases for mile after mile, this way and that way, wearing himself out to get that carrot. But he'll never get it. It was a trick to get him to go where the driver wanted him to go. In the same way, wealth is like the devil's carrot that he holds out before your eyes. He holds it out as the thing that you should chase, that you should walk after or run after, as the thing you should pursue, instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But see how Jesus deals with these idolaters, these worriers who have come to him for help. These are, like you are today, the ones who have come to listen to Jesus, his disciples, the ones who have come to hear his Sermon on the Mount, even as you have come to hear his sermon from this pulpit. How does he deal with the worriers, the idolaters? He doesn't send them away, does he? No, he keeps them close. He speaks to them. He points out their idolatry and identifies it, and then turns their gaze to their Father and his faithfulness. Look, Jesus says to those who were listening to him there on the mount, the Father, the God who created the earth and everything in it, provides food for even the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Well, yes, you are, because you're human beings created in the image of God. But more than that, because the Son of God became one of us, one of you, a human being, and shed his blood on the cross for your sins, so that you can live under him in his kingdom forever. And you've been baptized in his name and adopted as a son of God. Will you really believe the devil's lie? That God doesn't care about you, that he won't be the one to provide for you, that the birds matter more than you do? Will you really chase after that carrot of wealth and earthly riches when you have a good Father in heaven who promises you so much more? And consider the lilies of the field, Jesus says, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He will, if you'll just trust him. He's already brought you to faith in his Son through the preaching of the gospel, and he's already clothed you with better clothing than anyone could ever make. As St. Paul writes to the Galatians, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God will use whatever means necessary to see that you, his dear children, clothed with his own Son, will have the necessities of life as you trust in him and look to him as your helper and as your Savior. And with that promise in hand, given by the Son of God Himself, you can stop anxiously pursuing the carrot on the stick. You can stop worrying about your life and seeking the things of this life. Instead, Jesus shows you a better way, the way of faith. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Devote your life, your energies, your thoughts to the kingdom of God, His word, His sacraments, His grace, His instruction. Pursue wisdom. Pursue righteousness in how you treat your neighbor, in how you live in this world. Those are to be the first things that you worry about. And all these things that you need, whether it's food and clothing or whether it's any of the other necessities of this life, shall be added to you. God says so. And don't be surprised by the fact that you need this annual or this weekly admonition from Jesus. You'd think by now, those of us especially who have spent many years in the Christian church, that we'd have gotten over this worry thing. You'd think we'd have learned by now how good and gracious our Father in heaven is. And we have learned it. But here the devil always stands, dangling his carrot in front of your eyes. Here our sinful flesh still wants to eat that carrot, still wants to chase after the things of this world and believe the devil's lie that we can actually get them and provide for ourselves. And then the world around you is always happy to repeat that lie day after day after day. With enemies such as these, it's a wonder you're even here in church this morning instead of out there pursuing the things of this life. Jesus knows that you need a continual supply of this admonition as long as you live in this world, of His word and of His sacraments, and so He provides them for you to guard you against the devil's lies and the weakness of your own sinful flesh. Hear Him again today and take His words with you when you leave. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And sufficient for the day is the strength and the comfort that your Heavenly Father will provide each and every day. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.